We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast right here in Cocoa, Florida, 91.5 FM or one of the corresponding frequencies throughout the county. We want to thank you for tuning in. Hope that you are having a good week this week. I want to encourage you to remember that this week at the radio station is their fall fundraiser. It's called The Offering. They have a $30,000 goal, and it's going on Monday through Friday this week. And if the radio station has been a blessing to you, the number to call would be 632-1000, 632-1000. My wife was at a conference this last weekend. A number of the ladies from our church went, and And while she was there, a lady came up from here in Brevard County. The conference was over in Orlando, and she told my wife, she said, you know, I listen to the Refresh radio program every morning, and so I know that the broadcast gets at least to Titusville, and I've heard that via the AM station, the signal can get down as far as West Palm Beach. If this program has been a blessing to you, I want to encourage you, because as far as I know, there is no free electricity that they're giving away. Electricity is what sends the signal out through the transmission lines. And so if you would like to help keep this radio station up and running, 632-1000 would be a great blessing to the kingdom of God. Also want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, Bill and Heidi Andriak. Bill works on air conditioning and heating systems here in the central Brevard County area. If you need any help with that, you can reach him at 759-3284. 759-3284. Is there anyone else in Brevard County that's thankful that the temperature has been moderating? Because this man is certainly thankful. And so it won't be long until some people are going to be wanting to turn the heat on and stuff like that, and you might want to get that checked out in advance. That way, when it does come time for it to be needed, you will know that it is up and functioning. So today I want to take you back in the scriptures to the book of Acts. We're in chapter 26. Chapter 26, we talked about Moses as a deliverer before, and now we're going to come, we're talking about Paul as he was testifying before King Agrippa. So in Acts 26, verse number 15, it said, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So we have been talking about that God was going to deliver Paul, that he was going to deliver him for a purpose, and that purpose was to be a minister and a witness. And so we've talked about those two aspects. Today, I'd like to talk to you about that, the reality about being a witness, because we, the body of Christ, are supposed, there's not supposed to be any exclusions to that call. In the book of Acts chapter 1, "And you shall be my witnesses." That's what is the reality is supposed to be, is that every one of us are a witness. So I would like to ask you this question first and foremost, and that is this: what type of witness will you be? Will you be a strong witness? Will you be a what do I want to call it? A, a witness, a reluctant witness. You know, you do it, but you're not real excited about it. You know, here later this month, I've got a summons to jury duty, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to show up. Is that how I would have scheduled my day? No, but you know what? I am a citizen of the United States of America. I want to do my part. And so if I get called to serve in that capacity, I will serve in that capacity. Believe me, there are a lot worse ways than you could be called to serve your country than to be summoned to jury duty. Can I get a witness this morning? You know, I just want to thank God, because there has been so much that has been resonating in the Word of God lately that it's just been really exciting to me. I talk about it here on the radio every once in a while that I'm about to preach myself happy, and when I've been in church and I've been sharing things, that I get excited about the Word of God, because God is still showing things. So there are ways that you and I can witness. We can witness by being a person who lives the life of a Christian. And so we are reflecting the light of Christ the same way that the moon reflects the light from the sun. That when it hits us, it reflects into the community, and people can see things that they could not see before. I believe it was Francis of Assisi that talked about witnessing often use words when necessary. But for a large portion of the church, the thought of actually being a witness for Jesus Christ is something that is terrifying. Several years ago, they did a poll, and they said, what is it that you are afraid of more than anything? And you would think that the number one answer would be dying, that people were afraid of dying, and that was high up on the poll. However, the number one thing that people were terrified of was speaking in public. They were afraid to get out there and stand up and speak in front of people. And I don't know what there is to be afraid of. Or you may be afraid that that they're going to reject what you say. You know, in old times, they used to take things and throw things at you if they didn't like what you were performing or what you were saying. But now they don't do that sort of stuff. And so other than the fear of rejection as a speaker, I don't really understand why people have elevated that, other than the enemy would like nothing more than to shut us up. He would like to paralyze us with fear to the point that we cannot open our mouths. But you know what? If we do not tell the community in which we live about the love of Jesus Christ, how are they ever going to become Christians? You see, us being a witness was not just for Paul's life in the book of Acts, but it is for each and every one of us. But I do want to tell you this. There needs to be a harmony between the lifestyle and the message. If you have a message, but you do not have any lifestyle that goes with it, then people are going to reject the message when they see you do not live out what you preach. They call that hypocrisy. If you have the lifestyle, but you do not have a voice, then you do not have a platform. And so I remember hearing T.D. Jakes preach a message about the very first time that he was going to be speaking. And he had this publicist, and I don't know exactly what the publicist was all about. I do know that they were having a press conference, and so he said that he began to have some anxiety in the middle of the night, and so he called his publicist in the middle of, you know, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and she said, Reverend Jakes, do you have anything to say to this? Do you have a message that you would like to share with this generation, or do you not? And all of a sudden, he realized that there is a message, there is a good news that needs to go out. And so we need to make sure that we have a lifestyle that lines up with the Word of God. And as a result of that, our message should be in harmony with that. Again, several years ago, there was a study that said for people who had been a Christian, the longer they were Christians, the fewer people they won to Jesus. And so I want to tell you, what Merit Assembly of God needs is it needs a lot more sinners. It needs a lot more sinners who are becoming Christians, who are excited about what God is doing in their life and the miracles that are going on. But it also needs a revival so that those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a long time, that the wonder of it would be renewed and that our joy would be restored and our passion for the things of God would rise to the surface once again, and we would communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm an unashamed testimony stealer. If somebody is sharing a testimony, I want to share that testimony with whoever I can share it with. I've told you about a church up the road up in Volusia County, and they had a lady raised from the dead in their services before the ambulance got there. And so I shared that with our congregation. I shared that with you here on the radio. And then one of the men in our church a little over a year ago, they were traveling up in the Northwest, and while they were up there, their dad just collapsed and dropped dead, and they began to speak life into him and prayed the prayer of faith over him and said, "Look, God, Pastor Bob said that you raised somebody up from the dead, and you are the same God here as you are there, and we were believing God raised my father up." And he went and he called 911, and when he got back, he found that his father was raised back up from the dead. When you go from no heartbeat and no pulse to being resurrected, see, I share testimonies like that. If you are in conversation with me and you tell me something good that God has done for you, I'm going to share it, because I'm going to take this and demystify or remove the shock factor or the fear factor from this thing that we call witnessing, because there are some people who just feel like they are not equipped with the Word of God to be a sufficient witness. And I want to challenge you, because we need to have our foundation on the Word of God. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart so that we might not sin against Him. When we hide the Word of God in our heart, it equips us to be able to resist the temptation. The Word of God is what the disciples used when they were ministering the gospel. They would take people from where they were at, and they would explain the Word of God to them and bring them to that faith, or to that point of faith. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is essential for our witnessing. And if you are not well-equipped or not well-versed in the Bible, I encourage you to begin to memorize some scriptures. If you would like some help, we have a soul winner's guide that we have at our church, and it's on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. I think we got three of them along there. But we specifically designed it front and back so that it could be folded up and put into a man's wallet or into a lady's purse, so that they could carry it around. And I would just encourage you to memorize those scriptures. There are scriptures that I can quote today that on a regular basis that I can tell you the first time I memorized them was when I was getting ready to go on a missions trip. I was 17 when I memorized them, 18 when I went on the trip, and I still have them in my memory banks today, because I said, you know what? I'm going to get equipped in the Word of God so that I can lead someone to Jesus. If you'd like one of those, contact us at 454-4263. We'd be happy to send one out to you free of charge. If you would want to reach us by email, I may be able to reply with an email attachment. I think my office manager has that capabilities. If you'd like us to mail one to you, you can contact us via our contact information here at the end of the program. We're on Facebook, we've got a web page and all of that sort of stuff, and you can contact us, and if you leave your address, we'll mail one to you free of charge, because Jesus wants you to share your faith. Now, let's look here at what Jesus commands Paul. And he says, the things that I want you to witness of are twofold. I want you to testify about the things which you have seen. Paul was called to testify. He wasn't called to testify about what God had done in Peter's life. He wasn't being called to testify about things that he didn't know or wasn't familiar with. He said, testify about the things that you have seen. And so I want to just take you to a little bit of history here on where Paul was in this faith journey when Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus. He had been there when Stephen was martyred. He was holding the coats. He was the one who would have been there. He was the one in giving approval to it. He was hearing what the message that Stephen said. He would have seen his face. He would have seen his reaction as they stoned him into the presence of Jesus Christ that day. He would have been there. He would have seen that. And that would have been why he would have said, look, I was a persecutor of the church. I was the chiefest of sinners. It says that he had also gone out with letters and he had had people thrown in jail. He had had people persecuted. He would have had some encounters with Christians and he would have seen them stand in their faith. Those are things that he would have seen. And then here on this day, a day on which he was most thankful, I'm sure, he would have been able to testify about the way that Jesus interrupted his journey to Damascus and the bright light that he had seen and the voice that he had heard and people being thrown to the ground and the people around him hearing a noise but not understanding what was going on. He would have been able to testify about his eyes being blinded, about the communication that Jesus gave him, about go into the city, and I've got a guy, listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, there's a man by the name of Ananias that's going to come, and he's going to pray for you, and your sight is going to be restored. How specific is God that he told Saul before he was Paul? He said, after this encounter, you're not going to be able to see for a while, but it's only temporary because I've got a believer who's going to come, and he's going to address you, and he's going to help equip you. And then, Saul is there in Damascus. He can't see. And then there's this guy by, guess what his name was? Ananias, who shows up at his door, and he doesn't refer to him as just a stranger, but he identifies himself as a brother in Christ. And he said, Jesus Christ, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to you. Now, Ananias had to be convinced, and if today I'm being used of the Holy Spirit to convince you that you are a witness, you can testify to the things that you have seen. Listen, if you are an eyewitness to something, that is one of the highest levels of credibility a witness can have. I was there, I saw it, and this is what I saw. You see, Jesus has been at work in your life. I can testify to you about jobs that chased me down. I can testify about miracles of healing. I can testify about God answering prayer, of God touching a church and reviving it and restoring it to function. I can testify about God encounters that caught me completely and totally off guard. I can testify about sowing seeds, financial seeds into the kingdom of God and seeing a harvest from an unexpected source. I can testify about things like that. I can testify about young people whose lives have been transformed by the grace of God. I can testify about the things that I've seen. And a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. God is still on the move. I want to ask you, what have you seen God do? And if you haven't seen him do anything, I want to ask you, have you opened your eyes to look around? Testify about the things. Be a witness about the things that you have seen, about marriages saved, marriages reconciled, miracles that have taken place? What has God done? What have you seen? What have you seen? If you're listening right now, you may just want to take a little note, because if not, you'll forget about it and say, question to self, what have I seen God do? You know, when I started to go on that missions trip, my mother reminded me about a miracle that had taken place when I was just a child. To be honest with you, I was leaning in a different direction some 7 years after that fact, but she reminded me of a real miracle that had taken place in my body. Now, if it's okay with you, I'm going to give myself a pass. I was only 3 or 4 years old when it took place, and I think I can get by with forgetting a few things that happened when I was a 3 or 4 year old. But she reminded me of it, and I wrote it down, and since then I haven't forgotten that. I reminded myself, and so what have you seen God do? And be a witness. Share those things, you know, because you might run into somebody who's going through a similar situation right now. The second thing that he says to testify is this, and he said, you are going to be a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I want you to know that God is very intent on taking us from glory to glory. Whatever level of revelation you have from God already, thank God for it. Thank God that you've already seen those things. But I want to raise your expectation that there are still good things, God things, great things that God is wanting to reveal to you. Are we humble enough to admit that we do not know everything? Are we hungry enough to believe that there can still be more that God can show us? If we say, God, do whatever is necessary to prepare me for even greater revelation. Here is the danger with revelation, and that is this. Paul says this. He said, I have seen things, and you can become puffed up. You can become arrogant when you have received revelation. Arrogance will cut off the source of revelation, because God opposes the proud. That may be a revelation to somebody right there. You see, I don't want to walk in arrogance in the kingdom. There are enough arrogant people in the world without there being arrogant Christians contributing to the problem. We need to be walking in humility. And so whenever that revelation comes, it is not to puff us up. It is to equip us so that we can be more effective witnesses. Now, on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about the people that Paul had been delivered from, because it was God delivered Paul because he loved the people that he was going to deliver Paul from. So that's a little tease. We'll touch on that tomorrow. But today I just wanted to demystify it and say, you know what? You can be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. I am not the type of person that when I get on a plane, that by the time I get to my destination, that the pilot, the co-pilot, the all of the flight attendants and everybody on board has become a Christian. That's not the type of person that I am when it comes to witnessing. But I tell you what I do, and that is that when I'm on a plane, I will begin to try and build a relationship with the person that's next to me. Yes, if you're a frequent flyer and you are annoyed by people who talk to you during flights, I want you to know I'm that guy. Now, if we get to a point where you say, okay, you know, I'm done talking and stuff like that, then fine, I'm going to go ahead and I'll leave you alone. But until we come to that point, I'm going to do my best to build a relationship with you and take an interest in that person's life. Because the more I know about them, the more opportunity that there is that we have a common experience somewhere. And so if you're a frequent traveler, I want to encourage you. You may be a witness on somebody else's dime. You may be traveling, and God is able to use you to sow seeds of the kingdom of God that might yield fruit, and it might yield blessing days or weeks later. Man, I tell you, we had a great time at church on Sunday morning this last week. I was just so excited. There was life in the house, and God was so good. I do want to take just a little bit of time and let you know we do have our vintage service today at 11 a.m. We're going to be having praise and worship, sharing the word, praying for prayer requests, believing for miracles, and we've got some renovations that we're doing. Nothing fancy, just we're updating our nursery. Sometime today, I believe the carpet is being installed in there. So I'm looking forward to this afternoon of getting a good report in my personal life and being able to move forward and progress and things like that. There's a lot of really good things that are happening at Merit Assembly of God. I could go on and on and on and talk about the great things that God has done. But there was a time in my life when I was pastoring, I was working full time, and we were doing a lot of ministry. And I got to the point where I was like needing a fresh encounter with God. I needed some alone time with Jesus. And so the company that I was working for, a guy came in and he said, "Look, either Bob starts working on Sundays or Wednesdays, or he's going to have to go." And I looked at the guy and I said, "Do you want my resignation today, or do you want me to give you 2 weeks' notice?" And I don't remember exactly what happened there. I think they let me work out the 2 weeks. But then I went to a revival, and when I came back, I just began to share with everybody the things that God had done in my life at that revival. I wasn't there for long. I think I only attended one service there, but it was such a marvelous encounter. I was testifying about the things that I had seen, the things that God was doing, and I just shared it over and over and over again. Everybody I was talking with, I was just telling them how great God was and what awesome things he was doing in my life. And the thing was, my wife was with me with most of those encounters, and one day she said, "You know, I'm pretty tired of hearing about all that God did in you. You know, you need a fresh testimony today. If you're just sharing stories from the past, I want to let you know God is still in the revelation business. He's still in the now business. Let him reveal something fresh and new and enhance your witness for him. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh."
And we're going to cut into the last minute or so, at least through the closing here of this radio broadcast here, and that is Refresh, the radio ministry brought to you from Merit Assemblies of God. And they are located on Grove Street in Merritt Island. My good friend there, Bob Arthurs. And I just want to let everyone know what's going on here at the station. I've got a minute and a half. I've been sort of busy here this morning recording other programs, and people have been in recording. It's difficult attempting to have the station continue to run flawlessly, at least the best of my ability, and come on the air here with our fundraiser as well. So I haven't been on much. I want to thank, David, who called after I left yesterday with a $365 pledge. Now, David from Merritt Island, he put us over to halfway point yesterday. I didn't know it. I had already gone home. And so that put us over $15,100. And then Sean from Melbourne called this morning with a $25 pledge. Now, when we add David and Sean's support of the radio station, we're at $15,130. Praise God. We're over to halfway point now, $15,130. Regular scheduled programs today all day long. Now, tomorrow we'll be preempting everything. We're pulling out all the stops tomorrow. I'll be on the air from whenever in the morning, 6 or 6:30 in the morning, up until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, all day. As we come into the home stretch here this week, we need to raise up still $14,870